This is the New Life Rancho Vista podcast. We are a church committed to loving God, growing together, and serving others. Our prayer and desire is that this message from our campus pastor, Peter Moore, will be a help and an encouragement to you, regardless of where you are in your relationship with Jesus. So let's open our hearts and minds as we turn our attention to the incredible truths God has for us today.
We've been talking about battle ready, and really what it's been a focus on is focusing on the battles that are raging. There's a battle that's happening. Whether we know it or not, there's a spiritual battle. So the battle's inevitable, but victory is possible through the protection and the power that God has provided, and he's provided it through the whole armor of God. Now, I'm not going to read all of the different pieces of armor. There are six different pieces of offensive and defensive armor. But I do want to read the seventh, what I'm calling the vehicle for victory, and it is prayer. In verse number 18 of Ephesians chapter 6, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's pray. God, we want to pray for all the saints. We want to pray for every person in this room. We also want to pray for those that are just starting their journey with you. And God, we want to specifically ask that you will be with this text. May it, Lord, just make a mark on every single one of our hearts and help us to not just be encouraged to pray, but God, help us to be convinced that prayer is the only way to have victory in any area of our life. Lord, we do ask that you would please work and move in this message. And Lord, I do ask that you would please continue to work even after this Battle Ready series is over this week. May the work of your Holy Spirit not be over. God, may this be something that lives on in and through our lives and our church, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was 12 years old, I was working on a farm right outside of Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And my dad had, no pun intended, farmed me out to some guys in our church. And one of the things we were doing was pulling down barns and kind of cleaning up this large farm that a man in our church had owned for many years. And I was not particularly excited about it that day after school, but I remember pulling up and getting dropped off, and I immediately got excited when I was told that I was going to be able to drive the 1984 Chevy K10 Silverado. I think we have a picture of it. This is an incredible driving machine. This was the truck I learned to drive, and man, that first day I was, you know, four on the floor grinding, you know, grind it till you find it, right? I was trying to drive the best I knew how, and I was thinking about this vehicle because all the different elements of this vehicle are basically way different than trucks are made today. Many trucks have, you know, plastic parts that collapse under pressure and lots of gadgets and everything. This had no gadgets. This had nothing fancy, but this was a battle wagon. I mean, this thing could take on anything. When I got behind the wheel of this Silverado 1984 truck, I just felt like I was a boss. You know, I felt legit. I felt like, man, I could take on anything. And it made everything more enjoyable because I was in a vehicle that I was able to carry more. I was able to go further, faster. Everything was better in the truck. Now, I'm not going to show you any more pictures of this truck because I don't want to distract from the fact that we have a vehicle in our Christian life that is a vehicle for getting more done, for having a greater empowerment in everything that's been done, and our battle will be won and our victory will be certain when we are following the pattern of prayer given to us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 18 through 20. And so we understand that the Bible gives us this descriptive and prescriptive promise that the prayer here is a praying always with all prayer. That's what verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer. Now, it's interesting that it uses this because this makes it sound simple, that we pray, which is asking, and we pray always, which is consistent. And with all prayer is extremely encouraging to me because there are all different types of prayers. There are prayers when you don't have time to pray and you're just walking out your door, running out your door. There's prayers when you're in trouble. There's prayers when you're burdened. There's prayers when you're sick. There's prayers when you're confused. All prayer means all prayer. There's prayers where you don't even have the words to say and the Holy Spirit helps you. There's all prayer. And so here's a key thought. Prayer is simple because it is just asking. Prayer is asking. Let's say that together. Prayer is asking. But prayer is a little bit more than asking because prayer is exiting the temporal, the physical world, and it's entering or invading the eternal, the immaterial, the spiritual world. And so it is where heaven collides with earth. And so we understand that when we pray, it is not just simple, but it is difficult because it is warfare. And I want to paint this picture of prayer being warfare because I want you to know that the reason that we struggle with prayer, and I know this because I'm right there with you, that every time we try to sit down and pray, you ever notice about, you know, two minutes into it, it's like, that's all I got. A little bit harder to go a little bit further. It's a little bit harder to have some consistency in prayer because it's warfare. It's difficult to have consistency because it's something that's very simple to do, but it's also simple not to do, and it's something that God has commanded us to do. We are to pray, and there are three important components to prayer that gives us this vehicle to victory. Number one, I want you to see that we are to pray about everything. We are to pray about everything. Now, we did an entire message in June on pray about everything, so I'm not going to go too far into this, but I do want to remind you that 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing, without stopping. And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And the word ceasing comes from the same root word as the word always. The word always is paskrenos, meaning for all occasions, every opportunity, every single moment, we are to be praying. Someone once said, just as breathing must be done without ceasing, so a life without prayer is a life without vitality and power. And so that's an important key thought, because if we have breath in our lungs, we have life. We have the power to continue. When you stop breathing, you stop living. And when you stop praying, your power, your blessing, your vitality as a Christian ceases as well. And so prayer is more of a lifestyle to live than an action to do or a moment to have. Many times people think, well, I prayed today. Well, hold on. Prayer is not just something we do once and then leave. Prayer is breathing. Prayer is in everything. In everything, give thanks. It is prosukomai or prosuke. It is a request, an earnest plea, a petition to the divine, giving your attention to the eternal. It is placing our focus on someone we cannot see, to have someone who has more power than we have to intervene in our lives. We are giving our attention. That's what that word pros and suke means. It means to pros, to give our suke, our attention. And that's what God wants in prayer. He wants your attention. You say, well, God already knows the words that I say, so he knows what I'm going to say. He knows what I'm going to ask. Why do I even have to do it? It is just as much for you as it is for God. It is you placing your attention where your attention belongs. Now, we live in a culture that is vying for your attention. There are billions and billions of dollars spent each year trying to get your eyeballs for just a few seconds longer. Did you know that? Have you ever heard the phrase attention economy or attention economics? The social dilemma and all that. All of the social apps on your phone, they're desperately wanting you for just a little bit longer. And so let me explain this because I think this is a good parallel for prayer. Here's a video about social economics.
It's called attention. And the economy of attention, not information, is the natural economy of cyberspace. And he's right. Information consumes our attention, making it a scarce resource. We only have so many hours that we can glue ourselves to technology and the infinity of information it presents. We live in this attention economy, where you succeed by getting people to spend the most time, to allocate their attention to you or your product. And you dominate the economy if you can make people develop a habit where they spend time to get their attention and hold it.
So prayer is setting our attention or our affection on the things of God. In fact, Paul, used to compile the book of Ephesians that we're in, also compiled a letter to the church at Colossae, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said this in Colossians 3:1, "If you be risen in Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections, verse 2, on the things above and not the things on this earth." So set your attention, set your affection on the things of God. That is prayer. That is supplication. Now you say, well, is supplication the same as prayer? No, supplication is a type of prayer. So supplication is diocese. Maybe you've heard that before, the archdiocese or the, a diocese. It's a passionate prayer. It's an important need that drives you to plea, to be fully persuaded. It would be like this culture would say a full send in prayer. I mean, it's like everything in you is pleading. You are appealing the throne of grace. The greatest way I can illustrate this is pretty much a few times a week, our boys hit a moment at night where they want to stay up a little bit longer. And so they make an appeal to stay up. And they have many convincing reasons. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But they want to stay up. And they'll beg me, please, it's not a school night, or just 5 more minutes. Or, hey, you know, I didn't sleep well last night. And so maybe if I just stay up a little bit later, I'll get to sleep better. You know, I'll sleep more. You know, for all of the different reasons, they have their appeals. Prayer is bringing a request to God. Supplication is bringing an appeal, a passionate appeal to God. The other day, Chandler was making one of those appeals at night. My 8-year-old was just really, really wanting to stay up a little bit later. And he was not wanting to wind down, not wanting to brush his teeth, not wanting to go. And and I said, "Chandler, you just need to go. You need to go right now." And he just got, you know, "Oh, if all else fails, I'll try this." And he sat down and he put his hands in his head and he said, "Dad, you're crushing my dreams." And I said, "I think that's a little overstatement, Kent. I'm just wanting you to go to bed. It's a little bit more." No matter how much drama we bring into prayer, God says it's better to have drama in prayer than outside of prayer. No matter how much worry we take to God, He's never worried. In fact, Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests known, be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And so we are at a crossroads every single day. We can turn our worries into prayers, or our worries can turn us into a ball of nerves. And so you can start worrying or you can start praying, but you can't do both at the same time. You can either pray your worries or you can worry without prayer, but you can't do both. And so here's an action item. Next time your worry starts to grow, next time your anxiety starts to lift, and it does for all of us at some point in time, I would encourage you to shift your anxious thoughts into asking and thankful thoughts. Just decide to say, God, I'm going to thank you for something. I'm going to bring this thing that's heavy on my heart to you in prayer. Pray about everything. Prayer is the fuel that drives our life and our Christian life to a moment of victory. But then number two, we are to pray with awareness. Pray with awareness. Now it says, praying always with all prayer. And then it says, and watching with all perseverance unto the saints or for the saints. Now, the other day, me and Camden and I were walking near the building. We saw a really big praying mantis. How many of you have seen some big praying mantises lately? And I wasn't planning on using this illustration until I walked outside to feed our dog last night, and I walked right past the door as a praying mantis just flew right on my face. It was like dive bombing me, right? And I thought, I need to use this illustration because praying mantises are very interesting. In fact, I have a picture of a praying mantis today. A praying mantis has two unique features that I think really illustrate the need to pray a certain way with awareness. A praying mantis has a head that can pivot. It can look in all different directions. But it's interesting that the only insect on the planet that we know of that has stereo vision is a praying mantis. A praying mantis can look at one object, whereas flies and other insects, they can look in multiple directions. They can't look with both eyes at one object and focus in. So their vision is incredibly powerful. But then they have another power, and it is the power to be completely still, almost as if they're lifeless. They're completely still for such a long period of time that other insects, their prey, think that they're just a part of the terrain, and then they launch out and they grab them and they eat them. And I think that those two things are really, really important when we talk about prayer. Because the word watching is a very interesting word. I want you to notice this in your notes. It's the word for watch is the word to be vigilant, to be attentive, to be prepared or observant, to keep an eye, to keep a sharp eye, to be aware. And when we're watching in prayer, God is wanting us to have a vision for what to pray, but also a vision for whom we're praying to. And so that vision and the stillness are two things that God wants us to have in prayer as well. Now, I want to tell you that I've never lived in a period of time in which I have never witnessed so little stillness as we are witnessing right now. In fact, we're so adverse to silence that we call it awkward if someone pauses for too long. It's tough. It's tough to just hear silence. We are so adverse to stillness. And we're running around with all sorts of things. And listen, it's not necessarily bad to be busy, but sometimes it's really unhealthy to go week after week without moments of stillness in prayer. And so Jesus told his disciples to watch and pray, lest ye enter into temptation, because the spirit is willing and ready, but the flesh is weak. And that prayer, that stillness, is the perseverance that's mentioned in this text. The proskateresis, it's an interesting word that means to be firm, but to have a drive for diligence, to continue to pray regardless of what is happening around you, to not let anything or anyone pull you from that moment of stillness, from that moment of crying out to God. And so one of the greatest things that pulls us from prayer is a feeling of unworthiness to do it. You say, well, I feel somewhat worthy. Well, reality tells us that when I read verses like James 5:16, a famous verse on prayer, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, some might say, well, what do you mean by righteous? What do you mean by the righteous cry and the Lord heareth them? Psalm 34:17. What do you mean by the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, his ears are open to their prayers, but his face is against the evil, those that do evil? Well, we all do evil. So is God's face against all of our prayers? Well, I think it's important for us to understand that the word saints in this verse, verse 18, at the end of verse 18, is the word hagios. It literally means a sacred or a set apart one. Someone who is holy, a holy person, a righteous or sanctified individual. Then you say, well, that doesn't make me feel any better because that's not me. And I would agree, I'm out. I'm disqualified just as you are. So then how can we feel worthy to pray if prayer is answered only of the righteous? And I want you to know that the feeling of unworthiness can either drive you toward the presence of God or out of the presence of God, out of prayerfulness or into prayerfulness based on how you view yourself in God. For instance, prayer is not just reserved for those who have less of a mess. Prayer is an invitation of grace to come into God's presence and inhabit his space. It is mentioned in Ephesians as a moment of grace, not by our works, lest any man should boast, but we are his workmanship. And you know, I used to think that we are created for good works, but can I tell you what that says? It actually says we are created unto good works, meaning the good works were already created before you were. You walk in the good work of prayer. You don't work for the good work of prayer. Does that make sense? Meaning you don't have to earn the right to come to God in prayer. God gives you that right by grace. How many of you are thankful that you don't have to come on your own merit to get your prayers answered? How many of you are thankful that if it was up to you and me, none of our prayers would be heard? But God hears prayers based on his grace. Now, the other thing that is difficult in awareness in prayer is the awareness that maybe we're not really good at prayer. And you might hear a pastor or someone who's prayed for a long time pray and use some big words in prayer and, "Our Father, which art in heaven," you know, and you might feel a little overwhelmed. And I want you to know that one of the greatest prayers that I believe God enjoys hearing is someone who's honest and humble enough to say, "God, I don't really know what to tell you right now. I don't know how to pray that well. And I don't really have a lot of time, but I just want to tell you that I'm really burdened. I really need help to know even what to pray or how to pray." C.H. Spurgeon said that he would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. Prayer is so important. And so I would encourage you this week to schedule 3 times. And the reason why I say 3 is because it's doable. Schedule 3 times to pray at least 10 minutes. You say, what in the world would I pray for 10 minutes? Well, I want to encourage you to take the Lord's Prayer, or as I call it, the disciples' prayer, because Jesus couldn't pray, "Forgive me of my debts" or "my sins," right? So this was a prayer that he gave to his disciples, his followers, to pray. And instead of just praying it like a religious ceremony or, you know, a religious routine, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," but just stop and think. Our Father which art in heaven. Heaven is the words for heavens or everywhere. He's everywhere. He's even in places we can't go. He's everywhere. So God, thanks for being everywhere. Thanks for being with me even when no one is there. Thanks for being with me in the darkest hour. Thank you for being with me on my way to work during my commute. God, you're in heaven, but you're also here. Thank you. Thank you for your presence. That's it. Go to the next one. Hallowed be thy name. God, thank you for your name. Thank you for revealing yourself in Scripture. Just go through the Lord's Prayer or go through Psalm 23. God, thanks for being my shepherd. Thanks for leading me and guiding me. I need a shepherd. I need someone who will guide me into all truth. Thank him for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your provision. I shall not want. Walk him through all of the things that he's given to you. And so take that moment to be aware enough to say, I'm going to take some moments for stillness by the still waters. And I'm going to take these moments and I'm going to be aware of all that God has done, but also aware that God wants to hear from me. And so we are to pray about everything. We are to pray with awareness. But I want you to see finally today that we are to pray for boldness. Pray for boldness. Let's say that together. We are to pray for boldness. And you say, I pray that every single day. God, help me to be bold. Well, that's great, but not everyone does. And I want to walk you through Paul's prayer for boldness in verse 19 and 20. So he says, praying always for all the saints, but then he says, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, hey, would you pray for me? And can I pause and ask you to pray for me? And here's why, because this is a prayer for utterance. He's asking prayer that he may open his mouth boldly, verse 19, and make known the mystery of the gospel. Listen, the mystery of the gospel is going to be unpacked for ages to come, meaning forever. We will never get tired in eternity of hearing and seeing and experiencing the vividness of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And he says, for which I am an ambassador in bonds. Now, I am thankful that there are not police waiting outside to handcuff me and take me to prison for preaching the truth. But that day might come where just for saying what the Bible says, and I have actually friends and acquaintances and fellow preachers who've spent 30 plus days in prison for literally their only crime was standing up and saying what the Bible says. And by the way, in a loving way. And so he says, boldly, I want to boldly speak the truth. Well, the word boldly is parousia. It literally means freedom of speech. But not just freedom of speech, the confident, audacious openness to plainly and publicly speak the truth. And so boldness and confidence in life comes through the boldness and confidence in prayer. And this is what I believe Paul, the writer of Hebrews, but it could have been someone else. But the writer of Hebrews, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said in Hebrews 4 in verse number 16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. That's how God wants you to approach him boldly into his presence, into his throne, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. How many of you have a need? Raise your hand. All right. Does anyone else have a need in here? We have needs. Okay. So we all have needs. It's good for us to see other hands raising up to say, hey, we have needs. Well, how do we enter the throne of grace? We enter it boldly. We entered it confidently. Well, how can I enter the throne of grace confidently? I can be confident and I can be innocent and I can be righteous and I can come in. Why? Because I'm coming into his throne, not by my own goodness, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, by the righteousness applied to my account, I am coming to the throne of grace. But the greatest obstacle still, of all the obstacles we've talked about in prayer, the greatest obstacle is, yeah, I tried. I prayed. God didn't answer. Where were you, God? And I've had hundreds of people tell me that. I've had girls who were horrifically violated tell my wife and I would never pray to a God who didn't hear me and protect me in that moment. And we weep with them while we say that God was weeping and he never meant for this world to be that way, with cancer and with sickness and with death and with harm and with evil all over. God never designed this world, but he has given us one thing. He's given us a portal into the next world that doesn't have all those things. And that portal is called prayer. And when we come into prayer, we can boldly realize that regardless of what's happening around us, God is still working. God is still moving. And sometimes God ignores the prayers of our mouth to answer the prayers of our heart. Augustine said that. And Tim Keller said this, if we knew what God knows, We would want all of our prayers answered the exact same way God answers them every single time. And so just keep praying. And just keep praying bold prayers. Because, and this is the final key thought, the goal of passionate prayer is to lean so far into God's ear that you fall into his arms. That you can't go any further without his presence, that you don't want to go any further, like Moses said, I just can't go any further. And so there are those moments in prayer where sometimes we think God's hearing us. There are other moments where we think, I'm not quite sure. I want to end with this. You know, my boys are, you know, wanting to stay up. We love talking to them and we love having conversations, but sometimes those conversations, and honestly, I'm just shooting straight with you. Chandler loves to talk at bedtime. And if I let him, he would talk all the way through the night, where he would literally just have to get out of bed having not slept and walk right to the shower and get ready for school. I mean, he could talk that long. I guarantee it. And so about the 50th or 60th question, right? You're like, okay, now's the time. Now we're cutting it off. I love you, but sleep. And so we instituted something recently called talking tokens. And so I give a couple tokens and I say, after I pray, we've had a moment of devotions. After I pray, I want to give you some tokens. Jeremiah, I want you to bring those tokens up here, okay? And so this is going to represent coming to God in prayer. How many of you believe God hears our prayer? How many of you agree with that? He hears our prayer. Now, if you believe God hears your prayer, I want you to raise your hand, because there's some people in here who are sometimes doubting that. You can put your hands down. God hears your prayer. And every time you come to him, by his grace, he gives you access to place that prayer into his presence. And sometimes you're placing prayers, and sometimes you know they're landing, and sometimes you know they're in his presence, and you know he's hearing. There are some times where when you pray, there's nothing. You pray a little harder, and there's nothing. And then you pray again, and there it is. God heard that prayer. I know he responded. I can tell. But I'm telling you, in those moments when he's given you access into his presence and you just feel like your prayers are hitting the ceiling, I want you to keep praying with boldness. Because just as an earthly father might not have the patience or even the time, and I love talking to my boys, but I will tell you, there are some moments where I'm like, hey, listen, we got to wrap this thing up. But I want you to know there is a limitless amount of talking and a limitless amount of tokens where you can come into God's presence, and you can come anytime, day or night. And regardless of whether you feel like he's hearing you or not, he wants to hear your prayer. And he wants you to know that victory is possible when we are praying. And in fact, prayer is, and this is the takeaway, our vehicle for victory in any area of life.
Thanks again for listening. If you would like to learn more about our church or how to get connected, check us out online at findnewlife.church or find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook under the handle Find New Life. Have an amazing day.